Singing and hearing include "So Glad I'm Here." And we sing the words "Emmanuel," which is a translation or translates into "God is with us." And it is a joy and honor when we can gather in God's name. And each and every one of us, whether we are up front with a microphone or in the pews, it makes a difference that we would gather here and be together. And so these words of Scripture have power because it reminds us of just how near God wants to be with us, not only in the experience of our worship on Sundays, but each and every moment of our life. And I'll admit that as much as I may be inadequate to share any Sunday, the power of what God communicated to me in the Holy Land and what I share today, I hope that I can even give you a glimmer of what the Lord taught me about how He desires to be with us. And so because of my inadequacy and our dependence on the Lord and our need to hear from Him, would you pray with me and for me? Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today I want to talk about two places in the Holy Land for the way that it brought to life the human side of Jesus for me as I was there in January, both Nazareth and Capernaum. John 1:14 said, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us." And I love how the Message translates this verse. It says, "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." God became a person and moved into the neighborhood. It's far too easy for this to be just some theological idea that you might read about in a book. God became a human being in Jesus Christ. He was both fully man and God. So you might say, all right, well, I don't know what that means completely, but if the pastor or a smart theologian says so, okay, I'll believe it. Now, there's a fancy theological word for this that you've probably heard before. It's called the incarnation. And I want to share the impact that it had on me to be in a couple of the neighborhoods that Jesus moved into as it comes to understanding God becoming flesh. So first off, Nazareth. One of the titles for Jesus is Jesus of Nazareth. So he had a connection. Part of his identity was from this place. And we don't have a lot of details in Scripture about his childhood or even his younger adult years. But we know that Jesus spent many of those years up until age 30 living in Nazareth. His life seems to have been so normal during these years that as his ministry begins and he starts doing miracles and teaching in powerful ways, some people saw that and responded, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven?" And so Jesus lived in this place, what would have looked like a very normal life, so much so that when he begins to really show people who he is, they are confused by how special this normal person who had lived in such a normal way was. So current day Nazareth is a modern city, and we have a picture of it. It's also on the front of your bulletins. It's a modern-day city of about 76,000 people, and it's actually the capital of the northern district of Israel. And it's inland from the Sea of Galilee by about 5 or 6 miles, which might explain why at the time of Jesus it was so unremarkable. I mean, so much of the life and commerce and those sort of things happened near the sea. At the time of Jesus, it was the capital of nothing. It was fairly unimportant. And so scholars think that Nazareth 2,000 years ago was a village of probably about 25 families, not much more than 150 people living there altogether. And so when the disciple Philip responds to Jesus' invitation to follow him, Philip then goes and finds his brother Nathanael and tells him that he had found the one that the prophets had written about. And when Nathanael hears where Jesus is from, he says, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" This next picture is another one of modern day Nazareth, and it shows the bazaars that you actually find all over the Holy Land. There's a lot of these outdoor markets, but I wanted you to see this one in particular for the people that were there. This is how they do their shopping today. This is kind of normal life for them. And it was this normal life for them that really impacted me as we visited Nazareth. So there's a song by one of my favorite artists that has always taken the headiness of the incarnation out for me and helped me to connect with the real life of what Jesus might have lived. It's a song called Boy Like Me, Man Like You. And I listened to this song as we drove into Nazareth on the bus, and I couldn't help but shed tears at the profound thought that being in Nazareth, this place where Jesus had spent so many years in growing up, how it helped this idea of God with us come home for me. And so here are some of the words of that song. It says, "Well, did you grow up hungry? Did you grow up fast? Did the little girls giggle when you walked past? Did you wonder what it was that made them laugh? And did they tell you stories about the saints of old? Stories about their faith? They say stories like that make a boy grow bold. Stories like that make a man walk straight. And you was a boy like I was once, but was you a boy like me? Well, I grew up around Indiana. You grew up around Galilee. And if I ever really do grow up, Lord, I want to grow up and be just like you. Well, did you wrestle with the dog and lick his nose? Did you play beneath the spray of a water hose? Did you ever make angels in the winter snow, even when it's almost May out?" That's not part of the song. "Did you ever get scared playing hide and seek? Did you try not to cry when you scraped your knee? Did you ever skip a rock across a quiet creek?" You know, we get so heady about some of these things that I don't know that we connect anywhere nearly as strongly as we should, that Jesus, yes, he was God with us, but he was a boy, he was a young adult, he was a person just like us. Again, so unremarkable in his normalness that once he started really showing people his power in teaching on God's love, that people are saying, "Well, isn't that Joe's son? Don't we know this guy?" He lived life like us. And so as we are making our way up the windy road of that city built into the hills, this song is echoing in my heart. And as much as I knew that Nazareth 2,000 years ago was completely different than what I was seeing out the bus window that day, I couldn't help but think this. This is Jesus' neighborhood that we're driving into right now. God came here to be with us. It was all so very normal, but it was growing more and more profound for me as we drove in. Now, I didn't have any pictures. Well, I have pictures, but I didn't put any of them in the slideshow of the church in Nazareth, which I got to say, for Angie and I, was probably our favorite church of them all. And if I have a chance to go back, I want to spend more time there. But it wasn't necessarily the church that reached me, so I didn't put those in. Because it was the trip up to the church that really had my heart bursting with gratitude. Now, because even though Nazareth is a modern city, it's built upon a very old city, and so some of the streets are pretty narrow, and you can't get a bus anywhere near close to the church. And so you have to get let off about a half mile downhill and walk your way up to where this church is that remembers a lot of the particular things about Mary and her life there. And as we made this walk, I saw a number of kids ages from about 3 to 10 years old. I saw kids being pushed in a stroller, eating ice cream, fighting with their siblings. I saw a young boy come out of a store with who I think was his grandmother, with excitement in his eyes and a new toy in his hand. And all I can think as I see these young people is that if Jesus came here 2,000 years later, this very well could have been him, one of these beautiful brown-skinned children walking in the streets, living life, doing the things that kids do. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. God had sent his message of love and care to people for thousands of years. Adam and Eve, Noah, Moses, Abraham, all the prophets of the Old Testament bring a very similar message about God's care and call for us to follow and to know his love. Individuals who had actual conversations with God are told to spread the word. God could have kept doing that, but it was time for something different. The Creator would come and enter into creation. The eternal Word, who was there when this world began, comes to us to tell us in person about his love. But before he starts sharing his ministry in earnest, he takes 30 years to walk in our neighborhoods, living with and experiencing what it is like to be one of us. The next time I'm tempted to think that God doesn't have any idea of what I'm going through, I pray that something in my being reminds me really quick what a bunch of baloney that is. Jesus came and experienced the many types of things that we experience in these lives. Well, I said I was going to share about two places, and the other is Capernaum. And this is the village of Peter, where Peter grew up, but it's also a place where Jesus spent a lot of his time, we know, during his public ministry. And now it's much different than what Nazareth is, as a modern city. It's actually just historic ruins that we would see. And so this is a place where many significant events of Jesus' life happens. But it's really amazing to kind of see it, even in ruin form, for much of the way that it would have been when Jesus was there. And so we have a few pictures from here. This first one says that it's, is that the first one? There we go. First one says it's the town of Jesus, but really this was probably better called the town of Peter. This we know was where Peter grew up and his center of life was. And so this next picture, we can see the outlines if you look kind of before the wall. In the picture, it just looks like a bunch of rocks. But when you're standing there, you can see these are the base of foundations of homes. This is where people actually lived at the time when Jesus would have been there. The next picture just both shows us a little bit of how this was actually a real place where people lived. This is our guy Joseph. He was amazing. If you ever get a chance to be in the Holy Land, you know how important it is. You'll know how important it is to have a good guide. He was really, really awesome. This next picture is you can kind of see this path here, and they know that this would have been kind of the main street of Capernaum, and there would have been shops and other services set up right here for people who were going about their lives. Now, this would have been a much larger place than Nazareth, so this would have been a happening place. And it also is right next to where they would have worshipped, and we'll talk about that in a second. This next picture, it's not the last one. So it's kind of hard to see. There's actually a church above here, and there's almost like a circled dwelling. You see that in the middle with the opening? They believe this is Peter's mother-in-law's house. So this is where Peter would have lived, and Scripture tells us that this is a place where Jesus and the disciples are, and Peter's mother-in-law is not feeling well. She's quite ill, and Jesus heals her. And so you can't get right in there, unfortunately, but you can get really close to this place where you know Jesus did one of his healings. This last picture that I have to share with us is one that I thought was pretty cool. This is the synagogue of Capernaum. And there's a couple levels here. You see the white stones on top, and that was the most recent synagogue that stood in that place. They had rebuilt it after it had been destroyed at one point, which is pretty common throughout the Holy Land where the Crusades have knocked down original things. But you see this dark stone that's underneath there? That is the foundation of the original synagogue. And so this dark stone, those are the stones that at Jesus' time would have been the synagogue. And so I called my friend Steve, who's a pastor over, and I said, "Did you see this?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, you know what that black rock is?" He said, "Yeah, that's the synagogue." I said, "Well, did you touch it?" And he kind of looked at me like I was nuts. And I said, "You have to touch the place where Jesus preached." And so we kind of got geeky pastor for a couple minutes and touched and prayed that God would be upon us. But I'm going to share some of the words from John 6 as we gather at the table this morning. But in verse 59, we're told specifically that Jesus said those words in John 6 while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. And so that was literally a place where Jesus had been and lived his ministry powerfully. And so I share these two significant places in the life of Jesus and now have special significance in my life, because I hope that we can recognize in some deeper way what it means that the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. And so in the normalness of a city like what is Nazareth today, Jesus would have been there. Jesus was there. We might be tempted to think, well, if Jesus came and was an American living in the United States, he would probably live in some place like Washington, D.C. or New York City, some place that where there would be people of great influence and significance. But the fact that Jesus came and lived in the Nazareth of his day shows us that he came to be a very regular, everyday kind of person as he built up to the ministry that he would have. Nazareth was near the bigger places, but it was smaller, it was out of the way, it was where normal people who lived their normal lives lived. And so maybe Nazareth in Jesus' time is a place not so much unlike Bergen or Churchville or Stafford or Leroy, where normal people live doing their normal things in life. And it was in these places that Jesus knew the joy and the strain of everyday life. Because as he ministers to us through the work and the love of the Holy Spirit, he wants us to know that we are supported in the joy, in the strain of everyday life. Life was hard then, both in ways that we can't imagine, but in ways that we are all too familiar with as well. Jesus shared life and he enjoyed being with others and working with his hands beside his dad, around a dinner table, laughing and experiencing friendship in love. It's also because he knows the depth of grief, that when we lose a family member or when a friend betrays us, that Jesus can truly be God with us. And it's not just in the profound, but it's in the love we might have for our dog, or making snow angels, or giggling with friends as kids, that God is with us. Jesus coming to earth is not just a theological idea. The Word made flesh is one of the highest expressions of love that God could have shown us. Would you let such a God hold you and walk with you no matter what you are going through today? When Jesus came into our lives, all parts of our lives, when we let Him in to be with us, we show Him the greatest honor that we possibly could. So it doesn't matter how well we feel like we have our lives put together or how much we know about religious things, but would we invite Jesus in to be with us? Can we acknowledge that no matter what we're going through, that He has an understanding of that and longs to be with us?